Time now for the quote of the week. In a just released research paper in the Journal of Environmental Research Public Health entitled COVID-19 and the Political Economy of Mass Hysteria, the paper focuses on the role of modern welfare state in creating mass hysteria. I wanted to give you a quote from the paper. It's a long one, but it'll certainly get your head shaking. In quotes, "The state may actively want to instill fear in the population, thereby contributing to the making of mass hysteria. Illustrating this point is a leakage of an internal memo of the German Department of the Interior during the first weeks of COVID-19 crisis. In the paper, the state experts recommended that the government should instill fear in the German population. In order to spread fear, the paper endorsed three communication strategies. First, the state authorities should stress the breathing problems of COVID-19 patients because human beings have a primordial fear of death by suffocation, which can easily trigger panic. Second, experts emphasize that fear should also be instilled in children, even though there is next to no risk to children's own health. However, children could easily be infected by meeting and playing with other children. According to the report, children should be told that when they infect their parents and grandparents in turn, they could suffer a distressful death at home. This communication advice intended to invoke anxiety and feelings of guilt. Third, the German government was advised to mention the possibility of unknown long-term irreversible health damage caused by SARS-CoV-2 and the possibility of a sudden and unexpected death of people who were infected. All these communication recommendations were intended to increase fear in the population. Fear at the end is an important foundation of a government's power." End of quote. As I say, that's from the German Federal Ministry of the Interior. It's available on the internet. And as I say, I read that, and to say it was a head shaker is an understatement. There's so many questions that I think remain to be answered when it comes to COVID. Time now for this week's shocking stat. My shocking stat, I've been talking about this, the degree to which central banks are manipulating interest rates. Well, I've got a great example. Up until, the last year and a half, when somebody was lending money or buying a bond, which is the same thing, when you buy a bond, you're actually lending the bond issuer money, the interest was directly related to the creditworthiness of the borrower. It was a simple kind of concept. If you're lending to a flake, you want more in return. Someone solid, you can accept less. I mean, the more risk, the higher the interest. But that's no longer the case. That's the point, because the central banks are the primary buyer of government bonds, which keeps interest rates down. The key in the private market is not the actual rate of interest, but the willingness of lenders, right? You can set interest rates at anything you want. You got to have someone willing to lend the money. Well, again, central banks step in. But if you want to talk about manipulation of interest rates, you got to consider this. 10-year U.S. government bond is trading at about 1.1%. Right? You hold it for 10 years on an annual basis, you get 1.1%. Well, think about this one. The 10-year Italian bond on the end of the week was trading at 0.422%. So well under half of what you'd get in a U.S. bond. So let's think that what that would normally have said. Oh, the Italian government is more creditworthy than the U.S. government. Well, that's an absurdity. Italy's finances and banking system are an absolute mess. They're far less creditworthy than the U.S., and yet thanks to the central bank action, and I think the suspicion in Europe that if something goes wrong in Italy, hey, the European Central Bank will take over and bail it out. But anyways, Italian yields are far lower. It's just such a, when I saw that on Friday, I think that is what it's all about. Central banks have stepped in and are manipulating interest rates, and brings me back to what I said earlier. The key question is, how long will they be successful at that? My goofy award, as Global News reported this past week, senior political staffers from the PMO's office and the office of another federal Liberal cabinet minister privately discussed how to withhold information from Canadians about the government's response to COVID. In one exchange, senior staffer from the PMO wrote an email that shared advice from the Privy Council office. In quotes, "A detailed announcement would mean the government could be held accountable to show that funds were spent exactly as announced. Emails discussed the political advantage of delaying specific details until better numbers could be released." This is my favorite. "What if we are to hold the chart until Tuesday and release it with the minister's next update? Procurement Minister Anita Anand's Director of Communications, James Fitzmaurice, replied, saying the plan was, in quotes, crazy enough, it just might work. If journals ask where it is, we can say that St. Jean-Baptiste Day delayed some reporting. So we're holding to early next week. Hey, which also has the benefit of being mostly true. End of quote. I love it. Mostly true. Maybe that's an improvement on other statements. It shows a contempt, though, for the public and journalists. The other technique is just don't give the information. It's tough not to see the government's refusal to release any details of the vaccine contract to even the provincial premiers who said, let us know in private. It's, again, political considerations override the public's right to know, even if you're the premier of a province. Come on. Obviously, same thing with financial numbers. We don't have a budget. We've only had a couple of fiscal statements. They didn't even send their latest spending to the Parliamentary Budget Office. Now, would it be different if any other government in charge? I don't know, because integrity is in such short supply in Canadian politics. But there's also no doubt that the Canadians en masse, we accept that. That's it for today. I just want to say another shout out, please, to Alana and Paul Constance and their coffee shop, Lil E Coffee Shop in Sun Life Plaza in Calgary. Go out and show them your support. And in the meantime, I hope you have a terrific weekend.